little follow-up to our, what has just happened, praying for people. I have heard people on different programs who have visited heaven. And on several occasions, they've seen this room where there was huge, vast room of spare parts.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's in the spirit they've seen this or, but I've heard that from different people.
Yeah.
Has anybody else ever heard that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was wondering around here, just trying to think of that. Well, what's on my mind? What is that? And I'm just saying, we're reaching up into that room.
Amen.
For Chris.
Pulling it down.
For Mary. For Laura.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
For anyone. We are reaching up there. The Lord has provisions for us.
Hallelujah.
So I just say, whether here, at home, in your car, reach up into that room. Lord, you shall take care of all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And that includes repair of this flesh.
Amen.
He leaves nothing out. And so, we have a withdrawal slip here, Lord God.
Amen.
And I'm going to sign, we'll sign Karen's name, just to be fair. But I deposit this in heaven for Chris, for Laura. And we know we can depend on you, Father God.
Amen.
We can depend on you. Your love and your mercy is so great. Sometimes we're a little lax. I'm a little lax. And we call it upon him the way we should. So I apologize to you, Lord, for not being who I should be. Prayer and in service of people. As I've done it. Father, I am so thankful. I am so thankful we have such great victory because of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. The victory of Jesus on the cross is something that, quite frankly, is just so deep, so wide, so high, so powerful that sometimes we kind of take it for granted. Help us, Father God, not to take your Son's victory for us for granted or just take it as a home, as he died for us, and that's all. I go to heaven. There's so much more to his victory on the cross and his resurrection. Thank you, Father God, for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, what a king. What a king we have, Father
Amen.
God. Thank
Hallelujah.
You. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you. I'm amazed at your mercy and love. Show us, that you show us all the time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for delivering this nation from this pestilence that
yes.
is attacking.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I once heard, Father God, I heard your
thank
word
you,
through the Holy Spirit, that with your mercy, you will contain this thing across the United States.
And I look at what has happened in this United States, Father God, and I say, without your mercy, what would have happened? Without your love and mercy. Oh, it would have been horrendous. Because I've heard the statements, as the United States goes, so goes the world. And when I see the United States has more cases than anybody, I thought, aha, we know who the enemy is attacking first. Who's number one on the list? But we have a mighty God to defeat this pestilence, and it will be defeated. It is defeated in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father God. Let us worship you and praise you in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like you to turn to Psalms 145, a song of God in majesty and love. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on your glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts. And I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
Hallelujah.
All your works shall be praised, all your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of your glory, of your kingdom, and talk of your power, to make known the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom, your kingdom, the everlasting kingdom. And your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall, and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look expectantly to you. You give them their food in due season. You open up your hand, and you are satisfied the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways, gracious in all of his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He also will hear their cries and save them. The Lord will preserve all who love him. But all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak of the praise of the Lord, and all the flesh shall bless his holy name.
Hallelujah.
Forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when I was preparing the name above all names, can be found in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. That's in the New Testament. The name above every name. I was sitting out on our deck. It was just so lovely. I don't know if you guys appreciated it, but I did yesterday. And as I was sitting out there, I was holding a magazine. It was a Christian magazine. I was holding it up like this. And as the Lord was downloading the different sermons that he wanted me to prepare, he was giving me the titles. As I was holding that magazine, a bird came and sat this close to me right here on the tip of the magazine. And I told Joe later, I was just kind of like awestruck. He was so beautiful, and I just really felt, whether it sounds way out there or whatever, I felt it was a sign from the Lord. I felt he was saying that as I was preparing this about his great name, that it was like a sign from heaven that he was excited. That's what I told Joe, and he kind of just kind of looked at me, but it is so exciting, and I have seen birds that I've never seen before. And there are so many birds out there. They were so beautiful and magnificent. But this little bird just sat there until I finished this message, and it flew off. Now that is unusual. And to be that close to me. So at first I didn't know if I should just stare at it, or if I should go kind of be a little, you know, a little in awe. But I just want you to know, I wanted to kind of share that with you because I thought it was special to me from the Lord that He does things like that. Or sometimes I can be driving and I might see a double rainbow. Or I might see His hand come right out of heaven. At least that's the way the cloud formation looks like. And I think, Father, thank You for being with me. Thank You.
Amen.
And after our Bible study Thursday, I was taking Karen home, and usually after I drop her off, I'm praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, this truck was coming the opposite way of me, and he had his bright lights on. I thought, my gosh, I can't see now, you know? You know, with all the road construction that we have around here, it's like a little bit brighter, thank you, Jesus, but you don't know what you're supposed to do. I guess they just think everybody knows what to do. And all of a sudden, they were doing things on 115 as well. And I thought, my gosh, that guy's got his bright lights on. And he didn't honk or anything like that. So I hit my bright lights, and as I did, there was a deer so close to the car that it was actually closer than this tambourine right here. And it was just standing right there. And now I'm going to tell you right now, that startled me. Whether that was a sign from the Lord or what, I don't know. But it was like, whoa, He was so close. And I felt that God had protected me. And just these little things the Lord does for us. Do you understand that?
Amen.
And I just really felt like He was saying that. That, you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for something big, something whatever, you know. And all of a sudden, there's just so little that happens, but it has such an impact on me. And it just, I don't know, I'm kind of a person that, like my kids should say, Mom, are you here today, or are you in your own world, or what? But I'm just telling you right now, just to know who He is, you guys, I want everybody to have that personal encounter with Him, because it's wonderful. Yeah. And, you know, not to have any fear, but just to know Him. And I have inside my spirit, I always worry about the souls of people. And when I look out or I'm invited someplace to speak, I don't always see faces. I don't know what there is about that or whatever. I just see people. You know, like when I look out here and I look in the empty chairs, I still believe there's angels just encamped all around. And every time we're praising, they're praising. And I just believe they're here. And I want everybody to have that feeling and to know who He is, and to know His presence. But sometimes I just feel overwhelmed when I think of how many people are dying. And I can only just speak right now here in Benzie County, and I pray a blessing on Benzie County, I really do. And this is where the Lord has Joe and I. And I was telling Joe that when I went into the grocery store, I don't know, I wanted some corn on the cob, now get that. And anyways, when I went in the store, they had 3 ears of corn on the cob. I knew that. God. And when I went in there, this one guy that was behind me, he had his grocery cart full of liquor, hard liquor. I told Joe I didn't know much about it, but they were big ones, you know, really big ones. And they weren't like little pints or anything, they were huge, and it was full. He could barely move the cart. And he was behind me. So, you know, I always look for this opportunity. And I turned around and thought, my gosh, what is this man going to do with this? Because all the other places are selling, if they have a liquor license, they're selling things. And I said, Lord, I just shut my eyes on the devil's. You know, she's kind of running things I have. And I just shut my eyes, and she said, are you all right? And I said, no, I'm not. I says, I'm really concerned about the man behind me. And she goes, why? Is he doing something? And I said, no, I'm worried because of what he's got in his heart. And I want him to know that Jesus is the answer. And she kind of smiled, you know, kind of like, I never saw that cashier before. So I turned around and I said, you know, I said, I don't know who you are, and I don't mean to offend you, but I want you to know Jesus is your answer, not all that booze that you have in that heart. And I thought he'd leave that part and tell me where to fly. And he just looked up, I was sharing this with Joe, and he looked up at me and he just smiled. He goes, this is my way. This is my way of handling everything. And I just said, I'm just trying to tell you right now that if you just call in the name of Jesus, he'll take you through whatever you're going through. That was it. Paid my money and walked out of the store. But God gave me that whatever to pray for him. And I'm getting really, I don't know, if you don't have a burden for the lost out there, then you don't should be in this church today. Because we need to care about people. There's so much that people are trying to cope with. And I just really want people to know it's Jesus. And when I did this, put this word up here, Jesus, I wanted people to know that's all I needed. I didn't have to say anything else, it's just Jesus. So I had to say Jesus, he conquers everything. But anyways, as I was preparing this, the Lord said that his name is the most important name. And we got a chance to do a little bit of what I call Facebook Live. I don't know if that's the proper terminology or not, last Tuesday, but we talked about his great name. And it was very, very, went very, very well. And one of the things that the Lord placed on my heart is each of us possess a name. Now, for some of you in here, your parents named you. Maybe an aunt named you, uncle. Perhaps you're just named after some relative, or you were just given your name by your parents because they just didn't know what to do. For me, when I had my Sarah, she was my miracle baby, and the Lord gave me her name. And I heard his voice say that. So when you go to name someone, there's something behind that. And there should be something. It should stand for something. Whatever the reason was and however you came about your name, there's probably not a lot of significance behind it except maybe you were named after aunt, an uncle, or whatever. But in the text, in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, we are told of a name that does have great significance. And that's the name of Jesus. And it stands above all other names. And in the Bible, Jesus is given many names. And I'm going to share a few with you because as I have told you before, when I go to get into his presence, I do these names over and over again as the Holy Spirit gives them to me. But the Lord said that he is Adam. He is anointed. He is an apostle. He is an author. He's the Alpha and Omega. And God himself is the Ancient of Days, and a lot of people don't know that. He is the beginning, and he is the begotten. And he is the beloved, and you are the beloved. He is the branch, and he is the bread. And he is the bridegroom, and he's the bright and morning star. And he should be the bishop of our souls. He is the brightness of the Father's glory. Now, some of you don't even, might not understand that. Maybe you've never seen his glory, and I don't mean that in disrespect. But I have had a chance, quite a few chances, to see the glory of God come into a sanctuary, come into a conference, to come into places, and to me it almost looks like a fog. And his presence is so strong that if you need healing, you're healed, just like that. No man laid hands on you. It's just his glory. And everything that we do, we are to understand his glory. And I believe it's all about right now, every healing, every sign, every miracle is for the glory of God and his kingdom. He is the captain. He is the chief cornerstone. Now, that didn't mean anything to me. Does it mean anything to you, Chris Jr., that he's a cornerstone, the chief cornerstone? I was a kid, I thought, oh, that's awesome, whatever. But the chief cornerstone is so important because as I've gotten older in my age, it's like that certain brick, if I can say it that way, that certain rock has to be in place, has to be strong, And it has to be balanced, and my husband would probably get off that, what do you call that thing that you look to see if it's got straight, a level? And Joe would get off the level and be sure it's just perfect, because how that cornerstone is will affect your whole building, your whole area. And so what I've learned is that that cornerstone, that he is the most important rock that we can stand on. He is our counselor. And most of us have a covenant with him. Now, some people say, well, that's Old Testament. No. The blood of Jesus was shed for you and I. That covenant of that blood is upon us, but it's upon our offspring as well. It's upon my children who were raised in church, on my children. They're upon my grandbabies. They're upon their children. So the covenant continues on. So that covenant is very, very important, and very few people know about the blood covenant, and it drives me crazy because it is so important. Why take communion? It's to understand that there's healing in the blood of Jesus Christ. He is our day's man. He's our deliverer. He is our day star. He is the door. And he is the desire of all nations. He is the elect. He is the everlasting Father. I love that. Everlasting Father. He is Emmanuel. Now the teacher part of me, I always used to look, oh, is it spelled with an E? Is it spelled with an I? You know, I'd see all different kinds of versions of it. And it's even no big deal. It just means he's with us. Who cares? He is elect. He is the finisher. But he started in every person that's sitting in here and everybody that's on Facebook. He has a destiny for your life. Satan's trying to wipe you out, but I'm telling you right now, God has a destiny for you and he's going to finish it.
Amen.
He's the finisher of faith. You know, if Pastor Wendell Temple was here, I never saw a preacher in all my life could preach about faith. I thought, my gosh, how could he get all these scriptures on faith? He was truly a faith preacher. And there were different levels of faith. And it's like I said before in here, the Lord's taken us different levels as well. And he will continue to do that as long as we stay humble. It's like if we will humble ourselves and realize that we're doing it for him and not for ourselves. If we can be truly surrendered to him, boy, he's giving me a great message on that about surrender. He's our friend. I don't know about you, but friends come and friends go. So, some friends the Lord gives to you is for a season. He's the first fruit. He's the fountain of life. And he truly is the gift of God. He is the governor, the guide, the glorious Lord. And I love this. He is help, he is hope, and he is the horn of salvation. I told you that the Lord's given me a great message on the horn. And I can't do it until July 5th. He is the head of the church. He is the heir of all things. How about high priest? Now, Karen and I got a chance to share with you about our experience going to the Holy Land and in Orlando and how magnificent it was, and we got into these rooms that I don't even think we were supposed to be in, but the Holy Spirit took us in, and you could feel the presence of God, and you understand what the high priest really did. And, you know, I'd love to teach you on that. He's Judah. He is a lion of Judah. He's coming back as a judge. That's why we've got to bring as many as we can into the kingdom. He's the life, he's the light, he's the love, he's the lily, he's the lion, he's the lawgiver. And he's our living stone. He is the offspring of David. He is the Passover. How about that? Isn't that a good one? He is righteous. I felt in my heart, he's the teacher. So when I went into teaching for 33 years, I love that. I love teaching people. I like people to have knowledge. So I always felt, well, thank you, the Lord. I felt that was kind of a privilege to do that. But you know, he's our tabernacle. He's our witness. In the words of the Bible, he is the fairest among 10,000. And he's altogether lovely. And of all the names given to Jesus, there is none so precious and sweet as he is. I don't know about you, my grandma used to go, sweet, sweet Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus. You know, and you just listen to her. Grandma used to just have these little things, and we'd go, Grandma, who are you singing? You know, as a kid, who are you singing to? Oh, sweet Jesus. You know? I mean, if you really know who he is, he's just sweet. He's wonderful. But people portray him as someone else. And he's majestic. That's why I chose the songs that I did. He's our majesty. He's worthy to be extolled. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to share now a little bit about this and his great name. Vic, did you get a chance to do what I asked? Please listen to this. This is my favorite. I did it for the Temp Revival and actually did it. Do you know him? If you don't know him, you need to know him.
And the King of the Jews, and the King of Israel, and the King of righteousness, and the King of the ages, and the King of heaven, and the King of glory, and the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That my King, I want to be anointed. My King is a sovereign King, no means of measure can define his limitless trust. He's enduring and strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. In literature, he's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength to the weak. He's available to the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's strengthened and sustains. He taught and he guides. Well, he's my
You're back. That is good. The name of Jesus was very popular in that time. There was no different. The name Jesus was actually a common name in the Old Testament, in case you don't know that. And the name Jesus, well, this is still true today. Our Heavenly Father chose that name, Jesus. Therefore, there must be something so special about his name. And some of us have been privileged to know him, at least Joe and I have, for over 40 years, ever since we've been young. It was, number one, a name that was picked by God himself. The name Jesus was not given to our Lord by Mary, nor by Joseph. It was a name hand-picked by God, and if you want to read it in detail, it's Matthew 1:21. This alone makes it a name that stands out as special, a name that is worthy for people that don't know him to study who he is. It's a name that points always back to the Father. It always glorifies the Father. He uses many of us in here as vessels. We are vessels of honor when we sacrifice ourselves. And the Holy Spirit works through us, but everything goes back to the glory of God. It's for his purpose and his purpose alone. The name Jesus means Jehovah, means Jesus and salvation. The precious, sweet name reveals the side of Jesus that many of us fail to actually grasp. While God is a God of wrath and judgment, he is still full of love. He still gives people second chances, third chances, once we dedicate our lives to him. 1 John 4:8 and verse 16. God is love, and everything he does is an outgrowth and an expression of his love. I don't know about you, but I think about people that put you down, people that gossip, people can always say things, but I want you to know, you might push a person down, make them feel lower than they're supposed to be, but God comes by because of his love, and he picks them up, and he loves upon them, and he goes, go on, keep on going, keep on moving, you can do it. And I love that about God, and I wish everybody would know that about him. So therefore, when the Father sent Jesus to come into the world, he was sending a message of humanity. It was a message that says, I have not forgotten you, I have not forsaken you. I love you and I give you my son who will reveal me to you. John 14:9. It's a name that paints a picture. You know, they say that if you think of the devil, the Bible describes him as quite handsome and deceiving. But when Jesus is described, he's not very handsome. It doesn't even go into all the detail of what he looks like. And everybody that I've ever met, who I know that really calls on the name of the Lord, they say, you know, when I've looked at him, Marie, I don't really see him, his face. Or when I look in his eyes, I look deeper and deeper, and they're like flames of fire that come out from him. I remember when my mom, before the Lord took her to heaven, I remember her telling me about a heavenly encounter she had, and the Lord allowed her to come back and be with us for a period of time. And my mom would describe the love that she felt up in heaven was like no love that she could actually put into words. There was no words for it. And she knew it was just the Lord wrapping his arms around her, telling her that everything's going to be okay. He's a God that wants to save people. He's a God that's in the saving business, not in the damning business that you hear out there today. He truthfully wants no one to go to hell. Nobody.
Amen.
That's right. He loves everybody. He tells us that hell was not made for the lost. It was made for the devil and his angels. Now that can be found in Matthew 25:41. When the Father chose the name as Jesus, as the one his son who would bear during the time of his humiliation, he was telling every creature in the universe, in the world, that his blood was to redeem all of us. I don't know about you, that's powerful. How many would even do that? This was that he wanted, and this is what he accomplished through the name of Jesus. It's a special name. That's what I want you to hear from the Lord today. It's a special name. To every other name that could attach the list of goods, evil done by people, to the name Jesus, he deserves all of our praise, all of our worship. He deserves to be extolled. He deserves to be exalted. When I first became a worshiper of the Lord in song, I really didn't know what that meant to extol. E-X-T-O-L, I really didn't know that word. And the pastor of the church that was like the head of the music said to me, Marie, would you please explain to the people what extol means? And I went, well, we praise the Lord. I'm kind of carrying on, you know. And he goes, well, what does extol mean? And the Lord told me back then, it is the highest praise. Extol is giving the highest worship unto him. It should be every day. Every day we should thank him. Every day we should extol him. And the other thing I put down here is that whether you understand it all or not, humility is the bowing of our knees. It is a clear sign of humility and reverence for Christ alone. If Jesus was to walk in this room today, how many of us would recognize him? How many of us would just bow down to him because he's worthy to be praised? In heaven, there's the precious name of Jesus is honored, and nowhere else. He's at the right hand of the Father. He has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And I don't know about you, most people just put him in a little box. Yes, he's inside of us, but the power of the Holy Spirit comes out of us. Because yeah. How could you ever have that inside of you and not want to give it away to someone? Come on. He should be so much a part of us that we want to give it away. We want everybody to be happy. We want everybody to be saved. When the name of Jesus is heard in heaven, most of you have heard me say it before, it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And the seraphims are constantly going, holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy. Come on, I believe this is a time to realize who he is in our lives and who he is, period. He is our majesty. In heaven, the name of Jesus is a constant course of praise. I remember when Joe and I first came up here, some minister said, would everybody just close their eyes and focus on heaven? And I had my eyes closed and I was focused on heaven. And I could see the flowers singing and moving. And I just saw the grass moving and everything like that. And so we were to tell about what we had seen in our vision. And of course, you know, Marie just went on and on and on. And afterwards, the minister said to me, you know, the flowers don't do that anymore. I says, well, then you don't know the word. It says that they sing and make music. And in this church, we have literally stopped praise and worship and heard the instruments going in here. I believe that with all my heart, that angels from on high, when you invite them in or the Lord sends them in, they're a part of us. They're a part of the worship. They're sitting around us. They're guiding us. They're directing us. And if you don't know that in heaven the name of Jesus is a constant source, I know some people take notes, it's Revelations 4, 7 through 11. Revelation 7, 9 through 11. And Revelations 19, 1 through 3. Because see, I believe you find it in the Word. And then it says that worship should be here on earth. The name of Jesus is singing the word. Word, sing the word. is a sweet melody of his name. When we're up here in praise and worship, Joe was saying to me, you know how many, he goes, you know, we used to do, you know, some of those songs that just seemed to worship the Lord. You know, it was just about him. And I love the music that's out there, and I don't mean this in disrespect or anything like that. But you know, when you can't hear the name of Jesus in it, I wonder who are they singing to? Or who are they singing about? You should be able to know that they are talking about Jesus. And so, you know, I love the beats, I love the rhythm, I love all that. But if it does not show worship unto the Lord, then it's useless in my book. So here on earth, I like to see that. Where there are a few who love and worship his name, I think this church really does worship the King. I don't question that. I really have seen that. There was a time when Joe and I went downstate, and we had a couple of people that took over the church here, or then one time we closed the church, and some people were not allowed to use their flags or their instruments if they weren't part of the praise and worship team in other churches. Oh, that's dangerous grounds. You should be able to magnify the Lord with everything you've got. Every day you get up, you should thank him. Every day you should thank him that he gives you breath so that you can breathe. Every day you should thank him that the COVID-19 didn't hit you, your family, your loved ones. You need to praise him for the shelter that some of us who have walked with him for a long time might take it for granted. He is always with us. In hell, I've been told that there's new teachings that are out there that they teach that there's no such thing as hell. Dear God of heaven. While Jesus was here on earth, the demons gave him deep respect. You might not even realize that. Oh my gosh, Jesus, why are you here? They knew him. They were with him at one time in heaven. And this can be found in the scriptures. Mark 5, 6, Luke 4, 41, James 2, 19. Even as much as they showed Jesus respect and reverence, they still worked against him. They didn't want everybody to go to the kingdom. And let me tell you, there's a lot of false systems that are out there and false worship that is on this land today. There's so much liberal theology. There's so much new age. But the day will come when all demons of hell and all henchmen of Satan and even the devil himself will bow down at the feet of Jesus Christ. And we'll confess him to be Lord. I don't know if the devil and the demons have knees or really don't, or if they really have tongues, but the word says they will prostrate themselves before the Lord of glory, and they will exalt his name before they're sent to hell. What about honor? Not only will there be the bowing of knees, I don't know about you, but very few people literally bow down to the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus will also be confessed by lips on every creature, every man. I don't care if it's the President of the United States. I don't care if it's the Prime Minister. I don't care who it is. Every person will bow down to the name of Jesus. Men, angels, devils, and alike will join their voices in one mighty chorus, and together they will bless or exalt the name of Jesus. I believe a common praise and worship that everybody knows is hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I actually look forward to the day when the universe will be filled with people praising holy and righteousness to the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. Our vocal praise is no joke, kids. You're young, you're learning. When you're in this sanctuary, it's unto the King. And Joe and I tried with everything that we have to be sure that this stays holy and sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not time to shoot baskets and play games and do crazy things in the sanctuary. I believe in my heart that the sanctuary should be of the King. So this is what I wrote down. Jesus is a special name. It's a stainless name. By definition, like I said, it speaks of salvation. And it is the name that will stand above all other names and all other idols. And I love that. And I believe that we should have a ministry of his great name. He died on Calvary. He died on the cross. And I don't want you to be fooled by something. The Romans crucified men all the time. If women were crucified, I know nothing about it in my in my learning. But men were crucified all the time. And what was so amazing is to know that Jesus humbled himself and died in a sinner's place. I wrote down here that according to history and studying, that when they crucified so many men in one day, the soldiers actually ran out of wood. There was no more wood to crucify people. But all of those who died on the Roman cross, none of their names remained or are known throughout the world except the name of Jesus. He died in the place of you and me. The name which really upsets me is when it's taken and spoken by people or whatever, and they use his name in vain. It just pierces me. It's a glorious name. It's a majestic name. And if I can say this today, and even people that are listening on Facebook, I want you to hear that he's alive. And he's coming back. And we will exalt him here at Hilltop until the Lord closes this church or removes Joe and I. His name is going to be exalted above all other names.
Hallelujah.
Jesus and Jesus alone entered this sin-cursed world, stepped boldly into the jaws of death, but he snatched the victory, and we have that victory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I love that. So he's worthy. So in conclusion, this is what I'd like to say. There's something special about that name.
Okay.
So special. And sometimes when the storms of life are crowding me and I just don't know what to do, I love just getting in his presence and just saying, oh, Jesus, please help me, Jesus. I just said, Jesus, Jesus. And I hope everybody in this room experiences the power of his great name. It's so powerful. You know why Jesus is exalted? And why just the mention of that precious name can speak peace to trouble. We need shalom peace from him. Jehovah, shalom. We need peace. When I looked in even the benzene news and saw how many chaotic home environments there were and children that were being abused, I was so sickened in my spirit that I just cried and wept. Call upon his name, he'll help you. I pray for the families. I pray for the souls of all the children that are out there. They don't know what to do and they're bored and they're trying other things. And truthfully, they're getting on the internet and all kinds of crazy things are going on. I just really believe in my heart that families need to take authority in their home. I'm thankful that I have the grace from Lord to be at this pulpit, but my husband is still the head of our household, and what he says is going. Men need to start taking their rightful place in their homes.
Amen.
If you're a single mama, a single dad, Ask for God's guidance, his strength. Ask him to help you every day in the decisions that you have to make. But realize that he could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. We don't know when he's coming. But everything is in place. So I keep on saying, Lord, I just remember my mom and just saying, oh, Lord, you know, help me today. That's what we got to say every day. Lord, help me every day. He's given us another day for a purpose. Is Hilltop Tabernacle, where we're at right now, going to stay the same, or are we going to move forward? Mm-hmm. Are we going to let our own pride, our own selves, die down and say, Lord, what do you want from us? Mm-hmm. You don't have to be like other churches. You don't have to be like other people, but you've got to do what the Lord wants you to do.
Amen.
Amen.
So truthfully, one of the things that I have found is, do you know him? Do you know that he can bring you joy in the storm? Do you know that you can call upon the greatest name there is, and that's the name Jesus? I don't care whether you're just a little tiny kid and how I feel about that, or whether you're an old person. Call upon his name. His great, great name. In closing, I didn't really stumble on this, but it said, Lord, I have fought the good fight. I finished the race, and I kept the faith. Do you know, I only hear that at funerals. But we need to ask ourselves, have we done all that he wants us to do? Are we really sold out to him? The one thing that I read here, and it was just this morning when I came in, this person said, Lord Jesus, I put my feet, I cast myself at your feet. Let me bathe them in tears, for my feet have been like lead. They've been weighed down with all the cares of this world, with life, but I have been like the one in a dream that seeks to seem so paralyzed because of life. Set me free, Lord. Free my feet and make them swift so I can do what you want me to do. Free my heart, Lord, to love the lost with great, deep compassion of Jesus Christ. Lord, nail my feet with your feet on the cross. Give me the love that you have for others. Let me be the living water that you want me to be. I will magnify your name, Lord. I will exalt your name. Help me do what you want me to do, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what I'll leave with you today. Do you know him? Amen.